Good morning and welcome. A couple announcements this morning. We welcome a new saint in Christ, Mila Victoria, born to Chase and Anita this last week, August 28th. So, and we have 7 o'clock Friday Bible study here at the church. And next Sunday, the worship service will be here at 11 and also at Camp Tee People. And not quite sure what the service will look like here or there, but there will be a service in both places. also, if you haven't signed up and you are wanting to go to Camp Tee People, please do so. There's a sign-up sheet at the back, and any questions can go to Sonia and Trevor. And on Saturday, there will be a pancake breakfast at 9 for everybody who's there. Are there any other announcements?
I think there's a potluck on Sunday.
Yeah, after, for lunch, yeah. Any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests? Okay, Rafi will read the psalm this morning, and Jordan will open in prayer, and Tom will bring us the message. We'll begin.
Far away, soon and over. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for all the blessings you've given us for this another day of grace that we have the freedom and the privilege to gather together around your word and in fellowship with other believers. We pray for strength and everything that each of us needs for each day, and especially if there's any here who are not yet trusting in Jesus, we pray that they could hear that word of the gospel and believe that Jesus is a Savior who can give us eternal life with our loving God the Father. We pray for the harvest. We thank thee for the good weather we've been having and all the different blessings that are more than we can even know or count. And we pray for those who are struggling with what each of us has different struggles, whether it be health or finances or relationships with people or so many different things that you know each of our needs. And I pray that you'd give us what we need and give us thankfulness, give us the things that are best, even if it's may not be what we ask for. But we ask that you would give us what's best for us, and especially give us hope and faith and trust in Jesus. And I pray that you'd be with the speaker this morning, open the word to him, and be with the listeners, each one of us. Help us to be strengthened spiritually from the word of God. Now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Now change the stars. Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, be granted unto you through that indwelling Holy Spirit this day and hour of worship. If we can take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 6 to 29. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. The title of this verse from 6 to 29 in my Bible says, "Those who believe are justified." Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Knowing ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth therein. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, "And to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, or until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So why was these verses being written? Well, the Galatians were foolish, like he says in the beginning verse. Who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? These only would I learn and receive ye the Spirit by... This only would I learn of you, Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? He's asking questions here. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Having ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in you, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You see, the Galatians, they started off with the Spirit, taught about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But for some reason, they got sidetracked. They got sidetracked and got sidetracked to the works of the law and in doing the law. Now, we might say, well, that's once you've been born again and regenerated and conformed to the image of Christ through sanctification, once that process is happening, this really doesn't apply to me. Well, we just have to look at Peter. Peter in Acts, he receives the Holy Spirit. He is strong in the Lord. He's preaching. He's preaching powerfully with grace. And then he had to be lovingly approached by Brother Paul. And he was lovingly approached by Brother Paul in saying this: Why are you telling the Gentiles to get circumcised? You see, Peter was on a tangent, a different tangent. He was preaching a false doctrine, legalism. And because of the love of God, because of the grace of God, and because of the bride of Christ, Paul being part of that bride, was told to go to Peter and strongly and adamantly tell him, this is not of Scripture. And we will, if this happens to us where we preach or we go on a different tangent or a different way, God will do the same with us. He will come to us through a brother and sister in Christ, and it will be approached this way with love. That's not what Scripture says, Tom. This is what Scripture says. But it's not to scare somebody that the fact that because they're off on a different tangent or different path of teaching that they've lost their salvation. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is you will always need the bride of Christ. And what it's telling the bride of Christ is this: hold each other accountable, because we are all human. We all make mistakes and we all go on little tangents for some reason, because we do not know this word 100%. The Holy Spirit does. And we need help from sisters and brothers in Christ to get us back on track so we're not on a rabbit trail for 5 or 6 years. I don't know how long Peter was preaching this to the Gentiles, that they should get circumcised. But just so we know, it is possible for us to get sidetracked. Now the text, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was he believing God about? And in Genesis 15:6, he's asked to go somewhere. I believe it says, Genesis 15:5-6. His name was Abram at the time. And he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if they be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham was 75 at the time. So you're looking at this and you're saying, a 75-year-old man, he's going to have as much seed as the stars in the sky. And what does it say? And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So what was the faith that Abram had? Abram had this faith. What the Lord says, he will do. I'm not going to question it because he's the Lord. I will just believe what he says. And that was the faith he had at that moment in time when this conversation happened. So he says, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. They which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. The spiritual seed of Abraham. That's who they are. The ones that can hear, the ones that can see, the ones that act upon the will of God. In Galatians 2:16, if we go back just a page, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, why is a man not justified by the works of the law? Because they can't perform the law. It's impossible. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ, of Christ going to the cross, taking our sins, bearing the sins of the world on him, and all those sins, for 3 hours, he received the wrath of God in total darkness. He received every one of our sins that we deserve to receive punishment for. He received them. But God is merciful, and he gave us mercy so that we don't receive them. So he received the punishment or the wrath of God during those 3 hours. And he did this because he could see a picture of the future saints, the future brothers. It's like the evidence in the Bible where it says, a woman that bears a child, the pain that comes before is painful. But once she bears the child, the pain is removed because of what she sees in front of her beautiful child. Christ could see during the punishment, during that darkness, he saw the saints, the future saints in Christ. He saw brothers and sisters in Christ before and after. He saw a beautiful picture of all his family, all the sons and daughters of God. And that was much more of a picture of what will happen for him to endure the cross. So the pain of the cross was still there, but he saw the future. So it says here, the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Because we believe in Christ, the work of the cross, what he did, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do when he comes again. Because we have that faith. It says we have the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we cannot be justified by the works of the law. In Philippians 3:9, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay, this is the scripture verse that is kind of, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. We cannot create our own righteousness through the works of the law because we will never do it perfectly. Which is of the law. Righteousness is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ. Christ fulfilled the law. 100% of the law. So on Good Friday, the sins were placed on Christ. He rose again on Easter Sunday. And the imputation of righteousness was given to the believer. So we have been imputed 33 perfect years. So when God looks at us, he sees a perfect human being, holy and blameless, the bride of Christ. When he sees that, he sees a sinner? No, he sees a saint. He does not see a sinner. We see ourselves as sinners. By the grace of God go I. But God the Father sees us as saints because we believe in the work of the cross, which took away our sins as far as the east is from the west, and also imputed his perfect righteousness into us on Easter morning. It's kind of like a double imputation. So we have here in the text, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall thy nations be blessed. So Abraham was blessed because he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the law, under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you are under the law, then do the law. People that are under the law have to perform the law. But if you're under faith, you have fully believed that Jesus Christ has done every jot and tittle of the law, you are not under the law, but you are under faith. The faith of Jesus Christ, because he fulfilled it all through the work of the cross and through his life, 33 perfect years. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Abraham received the blessing, and that blessing will come onto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, meaning the seed of Abraham. Jesus was part of the seed line. Also, because we have received the Holy Spirit and we are sons and daughters of Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit by faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth therein. Men are, and women are, covenant breakers. God is the covenant keeper. We are not the covenant keeper. God keeps the covenant through his seed, through Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham, through the ones that were called before the foundation of the world. They will become born again. They will receive the grace of God. Why do they receive the grace of God? Because they were broken, lowly, and contrite at one point in time, where grace can enter, faith can begin, and then you're justified by the work of the cross. At that point in time, you're justified by the work of the cross. You are just as if you had no sin. Your sin is removed as far as from the east as from the west. So now you're being sanctified or predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the sanctification process. You are going to become more Christ-like every day that you live, because you are his. It's not your work, it's his work in you. He's the potter and you're the clay vessel. He's working this in you. You are ordained to do good works, John says. That will happen because of the potter's love for you, to change you and change you and change you and conform you to Christ. And you will be conformed to Christ because you believe in the work of the cross. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The miracles of Jesus that he did. Was that by the works of the law? Was that because of the promise? Was that by faith? That was by faith. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. I promise you, Abraham, that your seed will be as the stars of the sky. That's the promise. He didn't say, I promise to you, Abraham, that your seed will be as the stars of the sky if you follow all the law that Moses will set forth. He didn't say that. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come forth, come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, and the law was not given to give life, it was given to bring death, righteousness should have been by the law. The reason why we have righteousness, or we are pure, holy, and sinless in the sight of God, is because of the life of Christ, the 33 perfect years, and that he fulfilled the law perfectly. The reason why we're justified is we're justified by the work of the cross and belief in that. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So if we believe that we're not under sin, we are. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, until Christ came. The law shows us our sin. Christ shows us faith. He was perfectly faithful, enduring the cross, enduring the shame, because he knew what it would bring forth, and that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What's it saying there? We are no longer under the law. So that's important. Do we want to do the law? Yes, we want to follow the Ten Commandments, because the law is good. But we're not under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Because you have faith in Jesus Christ, what does that mean? It means that you have faith in the work of the cross, what he has done through the cross, what he is doing presently in your life through sanctification, conforming you to the image of Christ. And what he will do when he comes again, he will come and bring you home to glory. For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is not water baptism. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into Christ. You are now part of the family of Christ. So you were taken out of darkness, brought into the light of God. You received grace because God allowed you to be broken, lowly, and contrite. You are now justified by the works of the cross, because Jesus has taken all your sin away through the work of the cross. And now, when it says here, you are baptized into Christ, it's like you were immersed into Christ, or washed into Christ. You were changed into Christ. The best example I heard recently is this one. And this process is not necessarily all at once. For some, they believe. Like John the Baptist's believers, they believed, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But they still believed. But the Holy Spirit, the seal, or the Holy Ghost, baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost is different. It's a seal until the day of redemption. So it's important to distinguish the difference between the two. So we have here, baptized into Christ. We were taken out of darkness, we were brought into light. We have the light of Christ in us. We are now His, to be molded and made in whatever shape or form that He desires. Some are created unto honor, some are created unto dishonor. The ones created unto dishonor are fitted for destruction. It says that. It's in Romans 9. I don't understand it totally. God does what He does, but He does everything according to Scripture. Everything according to Scripture. And everything He does is loving and good. We just don't understand it because our brains can't comprehend a carnal God. His ways are higher than our ways. So to me, baptism into Christ means we've changed. The example that I was given was if you put a plate of food right there on the ground, and it's steak, and it's vegetables, and it's the best food you ever looked at, and you look at it and you say, that's exactly what I want. And you have just garbage, trash here on the other side, just basically fit for a pig. And you bring a pig into the room, and the pig comes into the room, he will never, ever pick the steak first. He will always eat the garbage because he smells the garbage, he's used to the garbage, that's what he eats. A pig eats garbage. That's what a pig eats. They will not go to the food that we would like. That's us. Until God snaps His fingers and says, you're a man now. You've changed. That's good food. That's not. I'm going to give you the desire to eat good food. The bread of life, the bread that is nourishing to your soul. The things you used to do, they will still tempt you. You will still be tempted by them. But once you've tasted the knowledge of what God has to offer for you, the life in Christ, the beauty of what He offers, love, grace, mercy, peace, justice, He offers us. Yes, we look back and sometimes we might partake of that, but we'll always go back to the good food, the bread of life, because we're His. It's not up to us to keep ourselves saved. It's up to Him to keep us saved. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If you can internalize this, the book of Tom is written. All the chapters are written. There's sometimes we like to pen our own chapter and do our own things, and God will allow you to do that and go on a tangent like Peter did and go on a tangent that you do, but He will get you back and you'll say, no, that's not my son. That's not my daughter. You're going to partake of the food that I give you, the bread that I give you, the manna that I give you, and you're going to love it. You're going to appreciate it, and it is what sustains you. So this is the baptism into Christ, the change. You're now the son of God, a daughter of Christ, and there's no divisions. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for all are one in Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are to hold each other accountable as the bride of Christ. When we stray off as a brother and sister in Christ, we go and we don't walk on eggshells, we go and we love people. And we tell them when they've gone in a way that is unbiblical. And we do that in love. What's not love is to not say anything and, oh, somebody else will do that. One thing that I've noticed in my past is God will tell you once, and then if you don't do it, He'll tell you twice, and if you don't do it, He tells you three times until you do it. He's persistent because He's using you as the clay vessel to solve this problem in the bride of Christ. It's not easy to go to somebody and say, hey, I don't think that's how Jesus would have handled that. I think, and show them Scripture where He would handle it this way. It's not an easy thing to do. But if it's consistently on your heart, and where it's really difficult, it's people within the body of Christ that you don't exactly like, you don't get along with, and God is saying you need to go to that person and correct them, or you need to go to that person and say, you know, I'm sorry because I was wrong. But it does start with the person that is basically, if somebody has offended you, like Steve said in the sermon, we don't know when we offend. We have no. Sometimes we're ignorant of the fact. We're not as observant as some others. Some people will know right away, oh, I offended that person, because they're more observant. Myself, I wouldn't notice. But when I do notice, it's obviously a big offense because I'm not that observant. So when I do notice, I will go to that person. Do I do it 100% of the time? No. But I will go and say, you know, I don't think I handled that right. I think I kind of messed that up, and I just want to apologize, and I hope you can forgive me, and we can move forward in this. And move forward in this, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be friends, or we're not going to be treat each other like friends or sisters and brothers. It means we're going to treat each other like sisters and brothers. We're not going to ignore that person and not talk to them again. You are brother and sisters in Christ. So Jesus Christ is your brother. How often do you speak to Jesus Christ? Probably every day. How often do you speak to that person that you see in church every Sunday that you maybe don't get along with? Probably not every week. We should. We should have that same love. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're part of the spiritual seed of Abraham. We have an inheritance, and it's heaven. We're heaven bound. Not because of anything we've done, but it's by the power of God, by the power of God molding that clay vessel and conforming that clay vessel to be Christ-like every day. I always look to myself and I say, have I changed from yesterday, or have I changed from last month, or have I changed from a year ago, or have I changed, have I gotten closer to Christ? And we're very hard on ourselves. We look at it and we say, well, I don't think I've changed. You don't have to worry about what you think. Has other people seen a change in you? And if they've mentioned it, then you've got some confirmation there. That, yeah, I guess I've changed. But there should be change. If you're growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? You know the bridegroom more than you did when you were first regenerated, first changed. In a more intimate way, and you know his attributes. You know God is just, God is loving, God is omniscient, God is omnipotent, God is gracious, God is righteous. There's so many different attributes, and you are looking at those attributes so that you have, and the reason why you're doing it is not because it's something that you schedule, it's because something that the Holy Spirit is giving you the desire to do. You want to know Jesus better because he's the bridegroom. We'll be married to him forever in heaven. He's the bridegroom. And that is so important to understand. We want to know the bridegroom more and more every day. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples in the word that you've given us so that we have that example. And that example is Christ. We ask that you would keep us close to your word, reading your word, being inspired by it, being addicted to the word like Priscilla and Aquila, addicted to the ministry. Father, we ask that you would bless this congregation. And we know that it will produce much fruit because you have ordained it. And we know you love us because you've given us your Spirit. And for the ones that have not received the Spirit, Father, as the bride, please give us the ability to pray for them. For the ones that are blind, deaf, and dumb, the ones that do not acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, the ones that we come across every day, Father, give us the ability to look at them as blind, deaf, and dumb. Then we will help them because we understand their weaknesses, because they can't see. and they can't hear, and they can't verbalize how they feel. They are without the power of Christ. Teach us to love them graciously, so that that love will draw all men unto you. In Jesus' name. Now, maybe we'll continue with 558 and 666.